This is Expanded States. Join us for a deep exploration in expanding awareness, opening the heart, and journeying beyond boundaries. Listen in for illuminating conversation and mind-expanding topics like psychedelics, mindfulness, breathwork, nature immersion, sound healing, and so much more. Welcome back to the Expanded States podcast. I'm here today with Casey Garrett, who is the founder of Microdosing for Healing. Casey and I have known each other for quite some time, but this is the perfect time for us to reconnect and talk about microdosing. Casey, would you take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for having me. It's always fun to spend time with you. So I am the founder of Microdosing for Healing. We just recently turned 3 years old, and we're a nationwide community come together around earth medicine practice. We specifically work with mushroom medicines and have people from all over the United States, lots and lots of beginners, lots and lots of other people who are coming back to practice for intentional use. And yeah, very, very happy to be here.
Thank you. I'd love to hear, you know, before we get into more specific questions about microdosing and your community, what's your path? Like, what brought you to working with plant medicine? I'd love to learn a little more about you.
This is always such a fun question for guides, because it's always a uniquely personal story for most of us, and I'm no different. So, gosh, I've been in the healing arts now for almost 3 decades. So I've kind of spent my whole life in the field of healing and personal discovery, exploration. I started microdosing, maybe 5-6 years ago now. the time is getting blurry these last few years. Yeah. But I instantly found it to be one of the most meaningful and effective and expansive practices I have experienced. I put it up there right with meditation in terms of the impact it had on my health, my healing, opening up gifts of intuition and creativity. Prior to, I had a grand mal seizure disorder that I went into microdosing not with any intention that, you know, I was under the preconception that this was just going to be something that was part of my life for my life. And it ceased immediately when I started mushroom practice and has not returned since. So microdosing has been something very meaningful in my own personal life. So when the pandemic happened, I had 4 healing art studios in Northern California, and we specialized in touch therapy and group classes. So yes, we were pretty much at a standstill on all fronts. And so within, you know, a few weeks, it became clear this was going to last longer than any of us anticipated. And so I had to sit with, well, how can I be of service? What kind of healing work can I do within the constraints that we're going to be operating under? And Spirit kept saying microdosing. And of course, my head was like, I don't know anybody else who's doing this. There wasn't much out there at the time in terms of research yet, in terms of other people doing this work to learn from. And are people ready for this? You know? And so I put a pilot group together in late 2020, and the rest is history. So we've now had almost 800 people through our program and growing. Anticipate growing a lot in 2024. And it continues to be the most meaningful, fulfilling work that I have ever done in the field.
Wow. I'm just acknowledging just the grit and your, you know, intuition, following your intuition and taking that risk and chance and all the beauty that's coming from it. I'd love to hear more about, I know you work with people one-on-one, you also have a community, you know, you're doing a few different things. Could you tell us a little bit more about your community and how you're supporting individuals and how you're supporting coaches? Like, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to. I am so in love with group work. which I spent my career mostly working one-on-one. So it was very unexpected, but it's been such a gift. And I think so much of our modern, you know, medical framework and healing frameworks are lacking the community and group aspect of healing, and just being together, our shared humanity is healing in and of itself. So just as the medicine catalyzes our growth and our healing, I think the group experience too catalyzes and expands and enhances our healing and growth. So they go hand in hand. So as I've grown, we've really expanded our group programs, are 6 weeks to 6 months in length. And then I do work with one-on-one people who, usually it's because they're too high profile or their schedules preclude them being in a group experience at this point. And then increasingly, I have a mastermind with other healers who are incorporating mushroom practice and medicine practice into their existing healing practices to kind of coach them on the entrepreneurship aspects of this work. So
beautiful, beautiful. And who do you find are the people that come to you? Like, who is interested in microdosing? Like, are there any patterns or trends that you've observed, you know, in the people that have come, and also just where you feel like your community does its best work?
That's a beautiful question. Yeah. In terms of age and demographic and background, it's been remarkably diverse. So it's been from 19 to 91 is our age range, lots of different backgrounds, all 50 states. And we tend to attract a lot of creatives. I work with a lot of artists, performers, entrepreneurs, founders of different things, lots of sensitive people, lots of spiritually open people who are already a little bit bendy to begin with. Yes. And it was interesting because it took a number of groups to really start to see the pattern of who was aligning, who was kind of being called together. And when I zoomed out and I kind of looked at it through nature's lens, it's so wise, because who better than to support than the people who are building the future?
Wow.
And I was like, these are all the people that are visioning and building, literally building in some places, the new ways of being, the new institutions, the new businesses of the future. So yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Are there any people that you think should avoid microdosing? Like, are there people that sometimes come to you or come into your community and you're like, oh, this probably isn't the best fit right now?
Mm-hmm. I think everyone who is a medicine keeper, a coach, a guide, is so unique in the way they hold the medicine and they support people. So I think part of the process when you're looking, if you're kind of called to the medicine, is really take your time and find that aligned community, that aligned guide, and that aligned coach, because we're all distinctly different. I'm friends with colleagues and coaches doing exactly what I do all around the world. And it's beautiful because the way we hold the medicine is so unique that I can interview someone and go, oh, you're going to be a perfect aligned fit for this guide or this coach. And this work spans around the world. So it's more about alignment than it is about geography at this point and someone being close by. So who is not a good fit?
Any like health reasons people should know about, like any contraindications with microdosing specifically? I know with high dose, you know, psychedelics, there's very specific contraindications for each one. Does microdosing have the same thing to worry about?
It is, well, a lot of it is so much is unknown, but microdosing, I feel like, is inherently safer and more accessible for most people because it is so subtle, right? While you are destabilizing your reality, quite literally, with high macrodoses, you're not working at that same level. So it's far more easy to integrate it into your day-to-day life. Okay. It's not as disruptive to your day-to-day life. So as far as the contraindications go, a lot of what we read about microdosing is just referenced from high dose journeys, which tend to be heart conditions, bipolar, schizophrenia, history of suicide. But I often share, you know, I am a perfect example. I wouldn't qualify for psychedelic use, like on every count. I am disqualified from everybody. Yeah, my father committed suicide. I have family schizophrenia, bipolar in my family. I had a seizure disorder, which is often listed as a contraindication to journey work. And I can't imagine my life had I not worked with mushrooms. Mm. So to me, it's such an individual basis is to sit with someone, check their level of resourcing, their level of groundedness and stability, how much support do they have in their life? What is their background? How much work have they done spiritually, emotionally? Yeah. Is really a lot to it. One of the questions I love that I found really, really helpful in asking people at the outset is, when you get out of balance, do you tend to harm yourself or do you tend to harm others?
Mm.
And that to me is a really great guide for anyone who tends to self-harm when you get out of balance, like isolates, depression, self-loathing, self-critical. Mushrooms are so supportive almost universally for people who need to love themselves more. So that's a great gauge, I think, when you're at the outset of practice.
Beautiful. And just to backtrack to your epilepsy disappearing, it sounds like that surprised you. You didn't expect it.
No.
And I'm curious, like, how has that changed your life and just changed your perspective on the work that you're doing?
Thank you immensely. You know, I was so curious to see if other people would have that level of healing too, right? And I was almost reticent to share that for the first year until I was sitting with some dear friends and colleagues of mine, and they were like, you need to share this with people. And I was like, why am I not sharing this more openly? And I think I didn't want to set the expectation, you know, and have the possibility that people would be disappointed. But fast forward 3 years, I've seen so much remarkable healing from so many things that people were told are not healable. These are chronic conditions that you're going to have the rest of your life. And now we've had 6 others at this point who had seizures, have all either completely ceased or one greatly, greatly diminished their amount. So, and many, many, many examples of nervous system healing across the board, from headaches, migraines, neuropathies, stroke recovery, TBI, concussions, car accidents, cognitive decline from age-related cognitive decline, dementia. So what I have come to learn from the medicines is that it's deeply, deeply resetting your nervous system at a very fundamental level that a lot of medications and our cognitive therapies can't quite get to. And the beauty is that it's not contingent on continuing practice. And so that's a big thing to get. It's hard for people to get their head around, especially when it's something that changes their lives so dramatically. It's like when they take their break from microdosing or they're integrating for a while, they worry that these symptoms are going to come back again, and they don't. And they recognize that this was just their innate healing, and the mushrooms were just a catalyst for what was already there.
Wow, that leads me to another question, actually. Do you see synergies between particular therapeutic modalities with microdosing? You know, I'm thinking about like cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness. Like, are there things that, you know, you can name that maybe somebody listening is like, oh, I'm already doing that. You know, I wonder if I can add the plant medicine with this and, you know, it'll kind of double the positivity.
Absolutely. Yep. And I think the medicines are uniquely designed, especially in our modern society, to be delivered in a container of care, to be delivered alongside a coach, a guide, a therapist, but also breath work or yoga or meditation or journaling. there's so many different things, and there's so many things that are unique to each person. One of the things I love working with is after somebody begins microdosing, it becomes clear how the medicine is going to speak through them. Like some people, it comes through their dreams. Some people, it comes through their physical body. They start to have a lot of movement and shifts through their experience with their body. Some people, it's more spiritual, mystical, serendipity start happening, openings start happening. Other people, it's very mental. And so those clues can lead me to often recommend certain practices that will further enhance that messaging. So someone who never remotely thought about doing dream work, for example, suddenly their dream life comes online and they're having these remarkable healing dreams and reclamation dreams and childhood dreams, that it doing dream work alongside a microdosing practice is very, very helpful to the process. Other people are more physical, and so a lot of energy coming up, they might really benefit by breath work or acupuncture, things that really move the energy in the body, move the chi. So yes, 1000% yes to that question.
And I love this because I love the, what I really appreciate about the conversation around microdosing, and certainly I know that that these are the conversations you're having, is it's not a magic pill, right? It's not just take this, it's not like we think of pharmaceuticals, in the West, take this pill and just go about your day. And I really wonder, like, what would even the pharmaceuticals, how much more benefit we can have from them if there was that support, that you and your community are giving to people as they're microdosing, to help guide. And that just feels like the superpower of the plant medicine space, is that it's not just, and some people will do it that way, right? They'll just be like, take the pill and maybe good things will happen or maybe not, right? It's like when I'm coaching someone in the beginning, I say, we can have a conversation every 2 weeks and it'll be very nice and we can get to know each other and maybe something will happen positively, but really it's the practices in between our sessions, right, that are going to make the impact in your life. And I see that in relation to microdosing as well.
Absolutely. Yep. It's one of the big things is deconditioning. At the outset, a deconditioning process that happens for people is to think that something external from outside is doing the change in work, when it's really much more of a partnership and relationship happening. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I love that. I love calling it an ally. It's a mushroom ally, right? I'd love to hear a little bit about any historical knowledge you have of how microdosing has played a role, in our history, in people's lives. Anything you can share there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a fascinating subject because so much, like all across the site, is more and more history that was buried for many years is now coming to light. And mushroom practice is for sure was a central part of life for many, 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 many centuries, far predating our society, all around the world. And so artifacts, artwork, statues, tombs are being discovered now that have clear evidence that mushrooms were a vital part of a culture and a society across spans of history and lots of different cultures. I'm Greek, so I really resonate with the Greek lineage of holding medicine. And a lot of that practice in ancient times was, yes, there was a sacrament and a ceremony, but there was a lot of attention to the preparation process. You lived your lifetime in preparation of the ceremony for some people. Mm-hmm. And there was a long process of purification and cleansing, quite likely microdosing in different ways. In indigenous tradition, it's very common to do plant dietas leading up to a ceremony. And so I really see microdosing in modern times being woven into society in such a way that it's preparation for higher dose work and ceremonial work. So whereas 3 years ago when I was beginning, a lot of people were microdosing just for microdosing. They were beginners to practice. Now we have a lot of people coming to microdosing who are aware they're laying the foundation for more deeper work, journey work, more spiritual work over time. So yeah,
it's can you speak to what I think maybe people don't know what a plant dieta is. Could you just speak to what that is for a moment?
Sure. It's very common in indigenous tradition in South American traditions where people will spend months and months sometimes in isolation, often working with just one plant spirit. And it might be psychedelic, but it's often not. And the thought is to really spend time, purify the body, purify the spirit, and really learn from these plant teachers in a very close way to often prepare yourself for an ayahuasca ceremony.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Well, moving from the kind of the past to more to the future, you know what? I know there needs to be a lot more research on microdosing. There's not enough out there, but it's starting. You know, what are you, what can you share? Like, what is the research saying so far about microdosing?
It's mixed, as you could imagine. So it depends. The thing with the scientific research I like to share people is people have the tendency to think that research is completely neutral, right?
Yeah.
And it often is not. You know, there's often you have to ask yourself, like, who is funding this? Where is the money coming from? Who is this serving? Because oftentimes you can take the same exact research results and read it different ways. There have been several examples of this. And so the people who are served by it being positive, you know, are going to read it one way. So it's mixed. And I think microdosing is uniquely challenging to quantify in traditional research methods because there's so many other variables to our life, right? Like, it's one thing to put someone in a room for 8 hours at a time, reduce all other variables, and do a before and after, you know, based on experience. It's really hard to isolate someone for 30 days at a time and do a microdosing protocol and then have them accurately self-assess. You know, it really depends. I mean, we're emotional creatures, you know, our emotions fluctuate. So when we say, are we feeling less anxiety? It might depend on the hour. It might depend on the minute. And so I think a better gauge is, are your relationships better? Are you more fulfilled in your day-to-day life? Do you feel more self-aware? Do you feel more connected to the planet? You know, these aren't the type of questions that are asked in research studies because most research studies are funded with the ultimate intention of solving a problem and having a symptom that can be prescribed for. So a lot of the research being done is around addictions, for example, or pain points in society versus researching what are the things that are actually going to move us forward as a human species.
Yeah. Yeah. I can really connect to that, that they're kind of wanting to like solve for PTSD or, you know, OCD or something that you can say, you can test for, they had this and now they don't have this anymore. Less about, it's kind of like therapy and coaching a little bit, you know, and it not in the same way, but like you think about people are like, well, should I get a therapist or should I go to a coach? And, you know, I tend to say, you know, therapy tends to look from your past, you know, you're kind of digging through that historical content, you know, where coaching tends to kind of bring you off into the future, right? You're here, you want to be here. What are the steps in between, you know, to get you there? And it's not exactly the same comparison, but that's what I'm imagining, you know, as you're sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And science, I always encourage people, like, science is an affirmation, you know, but there are many different affirmations. It's just, we live in the time of science is king right now, right? For the last 500 years, science has been the lens, rational thought has been the lens that we look at everything, but that has not always been the case, you know, in society. So it's kind of, you know, at different times, it might be the church. At other times, it might be royalty across history. And so people like to have the affirmation of authority, oftentimes to attach to something. And it just so happens that we live in a time where science is that king, you know, is that authority. So I always encourage people, if you want to wait for the quote unquote, wait for the science to quote unquote, prove nature out, that's fine. Like, nature's got all the time in the world. Humans don't. Yeah. Nature can kick it and wait for you. Right. But the thing that I love is, like, nature doesn't need our affirmation. It's a very human thing that we need to put our man-made affirmation on nature. Yeah. But that's what, you know, that's what we do as human beings. But, you know, one of my colleagues said, try and see.
Yeah, right. See, right. Like the Buddha said, right? The Buddha's like, don't take my word for it. Go try it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So same idea. You know, along that line, what excites you about how these practices that you're so intimately supporting kind of changes the conversation, changes the people's outlook, like changes, has the potential to change, like, what do you see as that kind of this future forward from microdosing?
Oh, I love that question so much. Yeah, I am so excited about the future and the potential of these medicines because we see the things that aren't yet talked about all the time. But then when we see them happening and what is possible for people, it's incredibly exciting and heartening. So we're at this time where we are greatly transforming to an uncomfortable extent for a lot of people, right? And the medicines reappearing in this modern time, I feel like are unique allies in that they help us open our mind and shift our thinking to a larger, longer perspective. We start to get more neuroplastic and bendy, thinking of things differently, loosening our identity a bit to our attachments to institutions and identities and roles, so that when we loosen those things, we are free to create new ones. And we live in such a time where we need our resilience, we need our creativity, we need our pluck, you know, yeah. And to be able to improvise things. And microdosing and working with mushrooms really, really enable to do this at a next level human capacity kind of way.
Beautiful. And then getting a little more practical, you know, when someone's thinking about microdosing, are there specific, you know, protocols, you know, that you suggest? Like I know that's something that you'll work with when you're working with groups or with individuals, you know, where do you usually point people as far as the practicality of working with them, even sourcing them? You know, it's legal in some places, it's not legal in some places. How do you have those conversations?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great question. So right now we're at an interesting time, right? Or greatly different than even 2 or 3 years ago, where it's hard to tell, right? Some places are decriminalizing, some places are legalizing. There are definitely more access for places, and also cultivation is something I really believe in and support. We have a cultivation partner who creates kits for people to grow their own mushroom medicine wherever they are, privately, safely, accessibly. Of course, depending on where you are, you know, there are different ranges of legality, but this practice is far more accessible and will continue to be in the months ahead, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost. You asked a question, and then there was a second piece to it. What was the first piece?
I asked about how people can the practicalities of doing it, like any protocols. And you already answered the question about, you know, how people can, you know, if it's how they can access it.
Okay, perfect. We'll edit this piece out, and then I'll say,
okay,
3, 2, 1. So practically speaking, one of the first things that a lot of people are concerned about when I talk to them is, I can't be weird. They tell me, they're like, Case, I can't be weird. Like, I have a family, I have a big job, I can't be weird even for a minute. And so a lot of our first conversation is assuring people that microdosing is subperceptual. Yes, you're going to feel benefits and shifts and changes, but you're actually going to feel better. You're going to feel clearer than you are, like, not spacey. I think because so many other quote unquote drugs take you out of your regular life versus into an enhanced state. Mushrooms take you from your regular life into an enhanced version of yourself. Mm. So you are more clear, you're more articulate, you're more on your game, your reflexes are better, your intuition is better. And so a lot of people in the beginning are a little bit concerned, rightly so, because we've had lots of conditioning and stigma for many, many years. But it's so fun because within days, often the people who have a concern, they're like, oh, okay, this, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. And they very quickly go from worrying about feeling altered and kind of trippy to, I have a big presentation to do today. I want to make sure I'm microdosing on this day. Wow. Because they know they're going to be in better, clearer, sharper condition to deliver. Wow. So, yeah.
Wow. I love that story. I wonder if you have any other little stories about, you know, people in your community that have worked, either you or people in your community that have worked with others that was like, wow, like what a transformation. What are some of the kind of the bigger transformation stories? I know like you have your seizure story. What are some other like exciting things that you can share that you're like, wow, amazing.
Oh, so many. So, oh my gosh, I have so many. I think one that excites me so much is, you know, people will start for, you know, around a very physical thing or a habit thing. For, you know, they're getting forgetful, say, and their memory. And they're like, I had COVID and I've been a little spider webby ever since. And so they start for that. But then like I talk to their family and they're like, he is a completely different person. Mm-hmm. He is just more empathetic, more kind. He is so tender to our mom for the first time ever. He tells us he loves us more freely and openly. It's just the relational aspects that are possible with this work and this medicine, I think, are the game changer. We're in a society right now where everything is so like harsh and coarse, and we have lost our humanity and so disconnected for so long, disconnected from each other, disconnected from the planet. There's so many stories of healing relationally with, wow, oneself as well as others with these medicines. And it's especially beautiful when people come in for more of like the practical benefits of a drug type benefit, and then their whole life transforms in a meaningful way, top to bottom in all the ways.
Wow.
But really beautiful, as I mentioned earlier, incredible nervous system healing in so many different ways. Women's health and reproductive health, especially around fertility, PMDD, PMS, sometimes so quickly, it's part of the process is sometimes women have struggled for so many decades with some of these things. It's become such an embedded part of their identity. Yeah. Is I'm a person who can't function a third of every month, or I am not a person who's well, to suddenly sometimes they heal from these things and it takes a while to be in the full expanse of who they have become, who they always could have been, you know, before the life conditioning and traumas came in.
Wow. Yeah. It makes me wonder. I come on and off, you know, microdosing protocol for the last year and a half or so, and I'm definitely in perimenopause. I'm not there in menopause yet, but I've so far like nothing, like I've got nothing to report. Nothing much to report. And you just made me wonder. I wonder if that's why. Like my doctors have asked me, people have asked me, my estrogen levels are definitely starting to fall, but so far, nothing.
I found it deeply, deeply supportive. I think the way I see these medicines incorporated in the future, and microdosing specifically in the future, is a lifestyle practice and a preventative health practice in a lot of ways. Like the incredible brain healing we've seen, that I think we're going to shift in our generations away from managing sick care, like waiting till we're sick, waiting till we're in pain, and shifting into more proactive healing. And just from the results we've seen, I'm like, gosh, we can ward off so many debilitating, you know, old age things that we're used to, you know, just as a matter of fact, are going to shift and change. And I think women's health too. Women, I think, are so disproportionately ill right now in our society for a whole host of reasons. And the health and balance that so many women find just from microdosing from a short time is really remarkable.
Well, you shared a lot, kind of, I feel like I've gotten a sense of what inspires you, but I'd love just for one final question for you to share, you know, what's really got your heart and your inspiration right now in the work that you're doing or the people that you're working with or the community that you're building? You know, what's really holding your heart?
Gosh, I could say so many things here, but I think especially lately, what is so beautiful and I'm so passionate about is witnessing younger people work with these medicines. Mm-hmm. They are stepping into a world that we can't even imagine stepping into when we were 22, 25, right? Yeah. And watching them do this practice, do the work at their age and their level of wisdom and self-awareness and emotional mastery and capacity, and watching them kind of come into their own and decondition themselves and prepare for the is so, so beautiful and so inspiring to watch. And so that's something we're very, very passionate in our community in the coming years, is really being the bridge for the younger generations to, yeah, harness the wisdom of nature and reconnect with the planet to build a new future.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank yeah. you. Thank you, Casey. Mm-hmm. I'd love to for you just to share, how can people get in touch with you and your community? Where can they find you?
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you everybody for listening. Yes, our website's at microdosingforhealing.com. There is an 80-minute one-on-one workshop perfect for beginners that will hopefully answer lots and lots of your questions on there. We also have a podcast, Microdosing for Healing, on the website, called Microdosing for Healing Podcast, where I interview a lot of other microdosing coaches and guides and medicine workers. And then I'm social. I'm on all the things. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, all the things.
Okay, great. Well, we'll make sure that's all in the notes under the podcast. And this was just, thank you. I really am happy to have this conversation on early in the podcast's life. This is the entry point, you know, for many people into the psychedelic space. And thank you for the work you've done and the community you built. And I'm grateful to have you in my life.
Thank you. I appreciate you too.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to Expanded States. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please follow us and be sure to share our show with your family and friends.